Ice cold beer.
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
Well, let me know.
What's up? You're listening to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. No mic today, so I've taken over the managerial duties. Also joining me in...
Really?
Unfortunately.
You've taken over the managerial duties?
Of this show. Because we talk about it like we're in the dugout, right?
So, oh, yes. I forgot you guys do that.
Yeah.
So he's the GM?
No, I think he's just like, he's the manager, and I get to be either the bench coach or... The Ichiro stand-in.
Yeah, okay.
We'll go with that.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so whatever that makes you now. The one-day call-up from AAA.
I'll be the bullpen coach.
There you go. So he's sitting down. Mike's been tossed. Sitting down in the dugout with me today. Jared McKediak. Jared, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. Life's going pretty okay right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might get a dog today, so...
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, always, yeah. Right?
Always.
My parents want to name it after some stupid Yankee, but yeah,
it's
hard.
Call him Judge?
No, my mom wanted to call him Jeter at first.
Oh,
and I was
no.
Like, hard no, hard pass. And so I was like, if you're gonna name the dog after a Yankee, like at least name him after one of the good ones, like Mantle or Maris. So,
Scott, not Scott Brocious. call him Brocious.
No, I don't think that's gonna work out so well.
Here, Brocious.
Yeah, no, it's gotta sound something that's like not stupid. So trying to not Yankee it up, but
yeah, you can call him Canely. You could call him.
That's actually not bad.
Giancarlo.
Nope, hard no. Hard no. Thanks. I'm good. That's a pass. Yeah. So lots of baseball news to go over. That's not dog related. The home run derby, of course, happened. The All-Star game happened, and a couple of trades. We'll get into some trade deadline news. But yeah, first let's talk about the home run derby. The funniest thing about the whole thing, of course, Bryce Harper winning, beating Kyle Schwarber in the finals.
You think it was fixed?
Yeah, all the Cubs fans are upset that the Harper and his old man cheated.
Of course they did.
Who cares?
Bryce Harper has no chill. You know, when I saw that he opted in, right? Because this is a big thing. You guys talked about it last week, how the home run derby is kind of like the dunk contest, right?
Right.
Is that the best players don't want to participate. And I get why. I mean, there's the... long sort of history of the curse of the winner of the home run derby overexerting themselves, messing up their swing, and having a bad second half.
Right.
And so I was very happy when the guy for my team, who, if he's in, wins that thing.
Oh, please.
Just so you know.
Please.
Jose Ramirez announced that he after saying for the first half of the season he was going to enter, he was going to win. He was not going to participate, save himself for the second half of the season. I was happy to see he did not enter. It was a pretty star-light field, I think.
I don't know. I think Javi Baez is a big deal.
Oh, of course. you know, I mean, Harper's a big deal.
I think Bregman's a big deal, too.
Javi Baez is a big deal. And, I mean, it was good that they had Jesus Aguilar,
yep,
who was leading the NL in home runs.
Muncy, who's been on fire.
Muncy, who's been on fire. But see, like, it was interesting because Muncy didn't play in the game, did he?
No.
Didn't play in the game?
No, just there for the derby.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the case a lot of the time, right? Like, you get a lot of guys out there to do the derby that didn't play in the game.
Yeah.
Which is exactly why they should have had Ichiro. They should have. Whatever.
Kendrys Morales, he was not available.
I still want the Jays to DFA him. He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's atrocious.
Anyways, first round, big up. Jesus Aguilar, who was leading the National League, as I mentioned, in home runs, went down. He was the number one seed and lost to Rhys Hoskins, who ended up making it all the way through to the semifinals. Really kind of opened up that half of the bracket. I don't know. I think it was predestined, though. I think that as soon as Harper jumped in, Rob Manfred said, you know what, Bryce, you enter. You can win. We'll let you win in front of your hometown crowd. Might be your final season in Washington.
Probably your final season in Washington.
Come on out. You can deck yourself in all the stars and stripes that you want, you massive D-bag, and win this derby. So, I don't know.
Did you see his bat?
The bat, the arm sleeve.
It's very cool.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
He's great.
I don't like Bryce Harper at all.
Why?
Because he's a D-bag.
I don't know. I think he's a star.
Yeah.
I think he's a star, and I think the league should market him as such, and I think that home run derby is the first step to doing so.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up the league should market, because that was another one of the big sort of controversial things that came out, was that Rob Manfred, the commissioner of the MLB, said, oh, Mike Trout should be a big star, if he would take the initiative and put himself out there more. It's kind of an odd thing for...
So, I don't necessarily think he's wrong, right?
No, he's not wrong, but it's a really weird thing from the league office.
When they don't market him in the first place.
When they don't market him in the first place, and he specifically singled out Trout. I mean, you know, you couldn't ask for, in terms of an athlete as a role model... You couldn't ask for a more wholesome...
Right. Correct. Trout's got, like, the best dude in baseball. Like,
dude's like milk.
Yeah.
He is as pure as they come.
Right.
Right? So why are you singling him out?
It shouldn't be.
No.
I mean, you should... I don't know. The league should be marketing Bryce Harper like a madman. The league should be marketing Javi Baez like a madman. The league should be marketing Frankie Lindor like an absolute madman.
Yeah.
And they should be marketing at least two of the Yankees, probably Stanton and Judge, mm-hmm, like madmen. Now that Machado's in L.A., they should be marketing Manny Machado like an absolute madman, and they're doing none of it. These guys should be stars, world-renowned stars, and they're not, because the league's just bad at its job.
Well, and I don't know if you listen to the BS report with Bill Simmons.
Of course I do. His Chuck Klosterman episode.
Yeah. There was... they spent about 45 minutes talking about how soccer has overtaken baseball in America as the preferred sport for millennials, people your age and younger.
I love soccer. It's great.
Okay, but you also...
I love baseball, but that's because I'm weird.
And it's also probably because you grew up watching baseball.
Correct.
Baseball. Right.
Yeah, it was a staple in my household. Like one of the biggest memorable moments of my childhood was watching when I was 7 years old, watching Mark McGwire hit his 62nd home run. There's a very entertaining story that my dad tells about him and my step-grandfather and my uncle being slightly intoxicated in Grand Forks at about 4 in the morning and wandering down to a 24-hour Walmart to buy me a Mark McGwire bobblehead before they were bobbleheads.
Mm-hmm.
I still have it. It's wonderful. I should bring it in at some point in time. It's great. And I cherish it. And that was like a huge moment for me. Huge moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, but like kids don't have these moments, right? Like when was the last time baseball had a zeitgeist moment like the McGwire Sosa chase? Because people despised Bonds when he was doing it because they all knew he was on roids.
I can't think of anything, honestly. The closest thing that I could maybe compare it to or think about would be the Cubs chasing the World Series was kind of a cultural moment, a big touchstone because of, you know, 100 years of futility and whatnot. But I don't know. I mean, it was an interesting conversation because I completely agree with a lot of what they had to say.
Right.
Right? I mean, I take my kids to Goldeye games and they have trouble sitting for long periods of time and watching baseball. There's not enough action happening in this sort of instant gratification society that we live in, make it appealing to kids who have grown up with devices in their hands, screens right. in front of themselves, right?
But so one of the things that Klosterman brought up in that podcast that I actually agree about is like soccer doesn't have that either. Soccer is periods of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for one split second of you know, monumentous excitement, which is very reminiscent of baseball.
I think
the problem is with baseball is that it's just like, it's fine if you do that for 2 hours like soccer does.
Yeah.
It's not fine if you're doing it for 3.5.
No. No, and I mean, I think that that is why soccer has made those great strides, is that it is fixed. It's 2 hours, you're in, you're out, you're done, go about your day. I mean, I will put on, you know, coming off the World Cup, I had no problem putting on soccer in the background while I was working in my office, in the same way that I will often flip through whatever's on MLB TV. And if my team's not playing, I'll find the game that has either started most recently or has the most compelling matchup and just put it on. It's background noise.
Yeah.
Because I like hearing different announcers call games too.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I think another big thing is that soccer has no issue allowing its stars to be stars. It allows their big personalities to be big personalities, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, Ronaldo scores an incredible goal and he's able to run around the pitch and do a dance and, you know, jump up in the air and be ecstatic. You know, Bryce Harper hits a 500-foot bomb to walk off the game. And yeah, you get the whole pile on. But if the man flips his bat, then Hunter Strickland's remembering it and beating him 4 years later. Right.
Well, like, and I think that this is one of the problems with baseball appealing to a younger demographic is that you have too many rules of the game that aren't widely known, right? It's just like, you know, oh, well, it's the way that we played, or, you know, it's like, it's an unspoken rule.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that not enough people understand the sort of history and understand the reason why there's all of these unspoken rules and, you know, you do this, you don't do this. If you do this, you're getting a fastball upside the head, right?
And, right.
And it's just
silly. They have,
well, it is silly. It is silly. But then the purist in me, this is the way that it's always been done. This is the way that it should be done.
Right. But I mean, like, the game needs to adapt or else it will die.
No, I completely agree. And that was the whole sort of crux of Simmons and Klosterman's argument, right? Discussion. It wasn't an argument. It was mostly a discussion. I don't think Chuck Klosterman's ever going to be a baseball fan. I don't think he has any interest in it as more than just sort of a casual observer.
It was interesting to hear him argue on the side of baseball, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he seems to at least understand how pop culture and phenomena works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see sort of where they go and how. Because I don't think that you can make wholesale changes to a game that is rooted completely in tradition. And the rules have been the rules for how long now? I mean, 100 years for some of them? The very core rules?
At least. Sometimes longer.
What did you vote during the All-Star game? Justin Verlander coming out and saying, hey, look, you've either got to get rid of the DH completely or you've got to put the DH in both leagues.
I mean, I think the DH needs to be in both leagues. I've advocated for the DH being in both leagues since I was 6 freaking years old. I just think that I think pitchers have a negative 24 wins runs created this year. Mm-hmm. They are 124% worse than the average hitter. They are bad. I don't care what. Okay, I'm going to offend a lot of NL fans here. I don't care about the quote unquote strategy. People nowadays do not care about the quote unquote strategy. It's not interesting. All you're going to do is pinch hit for a guy and maybe double switch. Nobody's getting excited about a double switch except the hardcorest of purists. You're not getting the casuals that way. To quote The Simpsons, do you want the truth or do you want to see Mark McGwire sock some dingers? I want to see Mark McGwire sock some dingers.
See, but what? I'm sitting across from you here and I'm on the completely other side of that argument.
Oh,
get rid of it.
Why?
Because I want to see the strategy. I want to see the double switches.
It's so boring.
I don't want guys like Kendrys Morales to be...
Fat baseball players are funny.
Okay, but I don't want guys like that to be solely employable for the fact that they can hit. And not in his case, because he can't.
Because he can't hit.
He can't hit. But, you know, the big fat guy, for lack of a better term, who does nothing but sit on the bench, eat spits, chew bubble gum, and goes up to the plate once a game, or
four times a game,
right? I don't know. I like the strategy. And there are more and more pitchers who can actually hit.
It slows the game down, I think, too.
I don't know.
I think it slows the game down too, and I think that's a problem.
I think we're gonna
again. I want to point out negative 24 wins runs created. They are 124% worse than average. Even the ones that are like so, Madison Bumgarner, who's the hashtag pitchers who rake demigod.
Yeah,
his career wins runs created I think is 15. His career batting average is below the Mendoza line. Like, this is a guy that people who love the NL and say, like, oh, well, we need to give guys like this a chance to hit. They can't hit. Nobody can hit. None of the pitchers can hit. And it sucks. And it's not fun. I don't know. I don't think it's fun at all.
I think, but it creates strategy. It creates a need to think ahead. It creates a need for you to manage your bullpen more effectively.
It's still going to happen no matter what because of all the sabermetric and changes that are coming with it.
But here's the thing. This is another problem in an effort to spice things up, make things more interesting. They've gone and they've created a whole boatload of stats in the last 10 years that...
Yeah. There is a right and wrong perspective to just about every single argument.
Well, and the thing is, right, it's just like, now wins don't matter, home runs don't matter, RBIs don't matter as much, right? It doesn't
batting average doesn't matter.
Well, and the thing is, right, it's just like, okay, but for the first 70 years, 80 years of the game, these were the things that did matter, right? And so, I don't know. Hard to say.
There's going to be a certain point when a team zags while every other team is zigging, and that'll create an interesting
argument again. You see it happen in other sports, right? You've seen it definitely happen in basketball.
Well, San Antonio is a good example, right? That they see all these other teams moving towards bombing 3 points all the time, right? All these 3-point shooters, and they've gone ahead and acquired the two premier mid-range shooters in the game, in LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, right? They are betting on mid-range shooting, really efficient mid-range shooters.
Well, I think that there's something to be said for finding a system and committing that, you know what, the next 6 to 7 years, we are going to play within this system. We are going to put players in place that will succeed in this system. We are going to live and die by this system.
Right.
And seeing where it goes.
I agree.
Yeah. So, So home run derby. I don't think we need to talk anymore about the home run derby. It was fixed. Bryce Harper's a chump.
He's next, the lion-haired king of baseball.
He's ridiculous. Next night, the All-Star game, actually pretty entertaining.
It was fun. They hit, one of the things that I thought that they did really well, that I thought was interesting and might have impressed some people that weren't really baseball fans all that often, was they had guys mic'd up when they were out there. They had Frankie Lindor for a while, and who else was mic'd up for a good chunk of change? Matt Kemp was mic'd up for a little bit. I just thought it was cool. Like, they did that with Mookie Betts. Remember that? There's that one funny clip during spring training where he's mic'd up, and there's that one funny clip where Mookie Betts is mic'd up and the ball gets hit in the corner. He says, "Well, I'm not getting this one, fellas." Like, that's just funny. And Frankie was great on the mic. He was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's such a wonderful, wonderful individual. So,
I agree. No, he's great. And there's a reason why we call your team the Frankie Lindors.
So there was an actual good game there. You know,
it ended up
going to extra innings. AL ended up winning 7-5. A couple of Astros hit home runs to win it. And, you know, Edwin Diaz, who has been lights out for the Mariners all year, served up a 2-run home run to Scooter Gennett.
Yes, Scooter!
To send it to extra innings. And so that was kind of fun. And, it was a good game. It was a good game. Of all the All-Star games, I find that I still enjoy watching the MLB one the best.
Well, for the longest time, players actually cared, right?
Yeah.
Which is the thing. Like, the Pro Bowl is an absolute joke. The NBA All-Star game has turned into a joke because the players just don't play any defense.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is where tradition helps, right? That, like, for so long that the ML, because the game meant something,
mm-hmm.
that the players cared, like... Mm-hmm. You know, there's always that famous clip of Pete Rose putting his shoulder right into the catcher, right?
So, destroying Ray Fosse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome.
And so, like, I don't know, there's, in a world where tradition matters, right? Like, baseball cares about the All-Star game, and there's always something goofy and fun, and it the game itself lends itself to something like an All-Star game. It's great.
Before we move on, one question that I have, and I had got into a conversation with a couple of buddies about this. Should every team be represented at the All-Star game, or should it be the best players from each league playing, regardless of team?
15 years ago, mm-hmm. one from every team, because you weren't always going to get to see player from every team, and so mm-hmm. seeing the best player from every team was worth something. Mm-hmm. In a day where MLB TV and illegal streaming exist, and there's mm-hmm. a baseball game two or three on average television mm-hmm. every single day, best mm-hmm. players, give me the best guys.
Don't you think that potentially forces you out of markets that aren't being represented in that game, or are you going to get... because what I'm thinking is, if you want to showcase the game in a day and age where apparently it is flagging a little bit, you want to put your best players on the field.
Correct.
You want to put all your superstars on the field.
Right.
But then the counter argument is, if I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan and nobody from my team is playing in the game because he is good enough on our team to play in said game, then I'm just not going to watch. The entire city of Pittsburgh is not going to watch. And I know that that is a gross overanalyzation. I'm sure that there are people in Pittsburgh who are going to watch, but you're going to miss out on the casual fans from the cities that no longer get representation.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. By the same token, I don't want to see American League All-Star Steve Delabar.
No.
Right? Like, so there's got to be a threshold.
I knew you were going to bring up Steve Delabar.
There's got to be a threshold.
Yes. Who was the worst All-Star this year?
Oh, God. Who did the Padres send?
Brad Hand.
No, he was pretty good then. I can't remember all the rosters off the top of my head. Sorry to make you do this. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Who did the Pirates send? I'm assuming...
Vasquez.
He's probably one of the worst ones. He's not particularly great. Whoever the White Sox sent probably wasn't super great.
Let's see. Okay, I love Yan Gomes, and I mean he only got there as a replacement fill-in guy.
Now Yan Gomes is a good player.
He's a good player.
I'm fine with him on that team.
Mitch Moreland?
Nah, he's okay.
Shin Soo Chu. Oh well, the White Sox got off easy because Jose Abreu was voted in.
Right.
I'm gonna go with, and I know that he's having a good season. The Tigers representative, Joe Jimenez.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Rookie reliever. Yeah, no. That's a choice right there.
On the National League, I'm gonna go maybe Ross Stripling.
Nah, he's having a good year.
He's having a good year. Fulton Newich is, again,
having a good year on a good team.
Jeremy Jeffress.
That's an option right there. He's not particularly great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a lot of guys that like don't deserve it. Like they don't.
J. Happ.
He got the save. You get out of here with that nonsense. He's not even going to be a Jay in 2 weeks.
You're a Blue Jays apologist.
I'm the one saying that we don't need to see Steve Delabar, American League All-Star, okay?
We don't need to see J.A. Happ either.
He was good. Yeah. Stop it. He was fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to take a break? And when we come back, we'll talk trade?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Bench Jockeys right here, UMFM 101.5.